bags are packed, ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking. Morn, the taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go.
Hi, welcome to the latest edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Balanji. Good to have you here with us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Balanji. You can get a hold of Golf News Net a zillion different ways on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat at the handle Golf News Net. We have all of our apps available for Apple and Android devices. And as of a couple of weeks ago, we didn't tell you that the last time we did this podcast, but that was out then anyway, that we have a Roku TV channel. And you can download that on your Roku device. Just look for Golf News Net, and you'll find us, and you can download it. About 2,000 of you have already downloaded the channel in the first couple of weeks, and you didn't even know it existed yet. So thank you for your support. We appreciate that. We are presented by BetDSI.com. We use BetDSI.com's odds every single week for our PGA Tour, European Tour, and sometimes LPGA Tour posts. They give us a great idea of where the marketplace is when the week starts, and with live updates on where the money is moving, percentages of money, and live odds changes. Even if you can't bet legally, you get a good idea of where the money is moving, and that gives you a good sense of how you should play your fantasy game each and every week. So check out BetDSI.com. All right, so we're recording this podcast about 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern on Friday. That means we know by now that Tiger Woods is withdrawn from the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. He withdrew just about an hour before his tee time on Friday. You probably heard the withdrawal, but a little bit of backstory behind it. So he withdraws about an hour ahead of the tee time. He apparently, through Mark Steinberg, tells everyone, hey, I'm out, not playing. He'd shot 77 in the opening round and made five bogeys, no birdies. He was consistently short on approach shots. He walked with a gimp at times. He looked clearly stiff. The problems were real. I mean, they were real and they were obvious. And Woods tried to put forth this macho persona, as he typically does after the first round, saying, hey, I'm pain-free. You know, it feels great to play pain-free. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully the wind blows. Yeah, it's gonna whip up, and we're going to get right back in the tournament because I sure as hell am going to shoot like 67, and everyone's going to shoot like 75, and all of a sudden I'll be tied for the lead. We'll win the golf tournament. And then the wind did show up. I mean, half the field completed their second round play pretty much in terrible winds. And the conditions were not conducive for scoring. And a lot of the field complained later in the afternoon when the European Tour decided to cut the cord and they ended play for the day. And you've got these guys who went and played a round of golf in these horrible conditions. Half the field did. And another half comes out tomorrow morning early and basically gets the course probably in pristine condition with no wind, no problem whatsoever. So this is going to be a little bit of a tainted tournament. But nonetheless, so Woods says he played pain-free golf, played a terrible round, couldn't putt, and then goes out to dinner, and he's having lower back spasms. And says, oh, he's going to try and work that out. He's trying to work it out overnight. He couldn't do it. So he gets up early in the morning. He goes to the physio trainer of the European Tour at Emirates Golf Club. He's getting worked on for three and a half hours, and he just can't loosen it up, just can't get it right, can't get the back spasms to go away. He's pulling out. Okay, says that he's pulling out because of the spasms, that they're not related to the nerve issues and nerve problems that necessitated three surgeries over the course of March 2014 through October of 2015, where he had his microdiscectomy, parts of his back disc removed twice, had some third surgery that we don't know about, all in the same spot on his back. We all have kind of lived that out. And he says, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's just some kind of back spasm. Now, if you go back and look at the record, if you look at what Tiger Woods has done in his career, He's had 9 times in his career he was withdrawn. 4 of those times have come in his last 21 worldwide starts. And all 4 of them were citing lower back spasms. Now, to me, that kind of sounds like if you're an NHL fan when they go, he's got an upper body injury. Well, upper body injury is kind of vague on purpose. Now, that's kind of part of the CBA where in the NHL they can say, well, it's just an upper body injury. You don't know if that means you've got a broken clavicle or you've got a jammed finger or your neck got a bruise. I mean, who knows what it is? And they're intentionally vague. And, you know, I'm not saying that Woods is trying to be vague here, but I'm pretty sure that he's trying to be vague here in saying, I've just got back spasms, man. It's my back. It's spasming. I got to get out of here. Because he did that, again, in all 4 of those withdrawals, and the description of what was happening to him each time was different. So he said this was a spasm. He said the last time he did this at Farmers Insurance in 2015, he said that his glutes wouldn't activate, but he called those spasms. The times before that, those were spasms. And ultimately, they're not really all the entirely the same, you know, in terms of how Woods described them. But if you're saying lower back spasm, that means you're pretty much having the same problem, and you've had the same problem since 2014, when he had that first surgery in March. And that if you're having it in just your 3rd to 4th, you know, somewhere in there, it was clear during the 3rd round, or, you know, the comeback that he was hurt. If you're having this issue in just your 3rd round back officially on the PGA Tour, or the European Tour for that matter, in an official event recognized by a tour, then how are we supposed to take the comeback seriously? How are we supposed to take what he's attempting to do seriously? How are we supposed to take what he is saying about what he is doing seriously? Because he went and played at Torrey Pines, shot 76-72, had a 2-way miss, started left, went right in a correction, couldn't find the fairway, putted pretty well, short game okay, but struggled mightily off the tee, and that set him up for failure. So he says, okay, well, I'm going to hop in a my jet from San Diego to L.A., then I'm going to fly commercial nonstop. That's why he did it, because it was a nonstop flight. Fly commercial nonstop for the first time in 10 years, probably Emirates. Hops on an Emirates jet, nonstop L.A. to Dubai. Gets there, gets into his routine. He's like, yeah, this is going to, you know, we're going to have a great week. It's going to be great. We're going to have a great time. It's huge. It's big. And lays an egg in the first round. And it's not even close. I mean, he came out of the gate, snap hooked his tee shot on the 10th hole, which is an easy hole. I mean, it's a 560-yard par 5, but it is super easy. Snap hooks at 70 yards. I mean, like, they didn't even really have, like, if they did shot tracer, you know, the shot maps that you kind of see on PGAtour.com, on the European Tour, it'd be like to unknown. They wouldn't have known where it went. And it just kind of started from there. Tentative swings, bad swings. Again, consistently coming up short. Terrible putting. Could not get the pace down, it seemed. I'm pretty sure he topped a putt on his 3rd hole that led to a 3-putt bogey, although it was unofficially a chip because he was just off the green. And it just didn't look good. And he loosened up over the course of the round. And he had 2 good shots, basically, he loved in the round. Now, he hit 10 of 14 fairways. The final 2 drives that he hit on the 8th and 9th hole, he played back to front. He loved those. And he said he had to figure out what in the world he did so that he could do those again. You mean to tell me that the greatest golfer of our generation, and maybe of all time, his good takeaway from that round was 2 shots and he doesn't know how he pulled them off? That, in and of itself, was incredibly discouraging. Putting aside the bravado of lying about having any kind of back pain, which was so terribly evident to anyone who was watching it. And then we have this. We have the withdrawal. I think if you watched the first 9 to 10 holes of the round Wednesday night in the United States, Thursday in Dubai, you're like, here comes the WD. I've seen this movie. We know what this looks like. And credit to him for gutting it out. Credit to him for finishing it. And I think he probably wanted to earn the rumored $1.25 million appearance fee that he got for coming to the tournament. just by finishing at least one round. And then, you know, he clearly was in pain, clearly had some issues, apparently weren't getting any better, and they probably decided at dinner, you know, not going to risk this, not going to do this again, I'm going to withdraw. It probably also helped exacerbate his back problem that the wind was coming and it looked pretty bad and knocked down trees. Again, a lot of the European Tour regulars complained that the tour allowed half the field to continue playing as they did on Friday afternoon before they called play. I mean, they called play after Ian Poulter hit a dead shank, you know, a stone cold shank. And they're like, hey, Ian, you got to come back tomorrow after that shank and finish out the par three. And I'm sure Tiger still was like, I don't know if my game's good enough to get through all of this without shooting like 85. And so I'm just going to take the safe road. My back hurts. Not going to be good. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a week off. And then I'm going to try and get back at it. Next week is the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He's not playing in that. He wouldn't play in that for his life. Those rounds are too slow for his liking. For most players' liking, but some of them like the networking. He doesn't. And so he's going to take the week off. He's going to probably do nothing. Minimal practice. Just try to recover, feel better. And then he's going to fly out to Los Angeles. Again, another cross-country flight. At least not transcontinental flight. And he's going to go out there and host the Genesis Open, the old LA Open, formerly the Northern Trust. Now his tournament management arm runs the TGR Live, I think it's called. And so he plays in those tournaments. And so he intends to play. And will he be good enough? I mean, will his back be fine? This seems like normal. This seems like the new normal for Tiger is. He could be capable of playing four rounds in a week, but he may not. And that might be because he misses the cut, like at Torrey, and it may be because his back flares up, like in Dubai. Could be a combination. Could be the back causes him to miss the cut. You never know. But I think that's what we've got right now. And I think that's what Tiger is, and that's what he's going to be for the rest of his career. He says he's pain-free, but he swings away from pain. Rectify those two things for me, because you can't. That means he feels pain, and he's trying to swing away so that he doesn't experience it on every shot, every full shot, which leads me to believe he's got pain. Okay? So if he has pain playing golf, how long do you want to put up with that? Can you fight through it? I mean, Tiger is notorious for fighting through pain, saying he's fine when he's really not, doing all the kind of things that the average person, that's not an athlete, that doesn't feel like this macho complex, would just be like, yeah, I'm just not going to play today. I'm just not going to do this. And that's not Tiger. That's apparently not who he is, and it's not, at 41 years old, going to become Tiger, where he's like, all of a sudden, yeah, back not feeling too good, I'm going to candidly admit this, and then I'm going to politely get out of the way. No, he's not going to do that, and that's not going to change. So he's come into 2017. He says, I'm going to play four times in 5 weeks. I'm going to play Torrey, Dubai, skip a week, Genesis/Riviera, and come back home and play Honda. So far, out of a maximum of 8 rounds, he has played 3. Just in case you're wondering what the percentage of that is, that's 37.5% of the rounds he could have played. He's got 8 more he could potentially play. There are cuts in both those events, so he's in no way guaranteed making all 4 rounds of that. And those courses, particularly Riviera, are not all that flat. I mean, Emirates is pretty flat, and that didn't go very well. Torrey actually has plenty of hills, but he got through that. So it doesn't matter what course he's playing. The flight probably had some kind of issues with his back, kind of caused some wear and tear there. A 15-hour flight, 15-hour travel time, I don't care what you're doing, driving, train, teleportation, whatever it is, that it's going to mess up your back. It's just going to. And so he probably got out stiff. He probably tried to work through it again. Gets on the ground at something like 2 or 3 a.m. Dubai time. Gets up at like 6 a.m. And he's fighting his balance. He seems in his mind to know where he is physically and what he is capable of doing. Now that he's 41 years old, had 3 back surgeries, like 9 total surgeries. He's just not the same guy. He knows in his mind. He's aware of it. He's been through it, trying to get back to the PGA Tour, trying to go through this rehab that took what he thought would be probably 6 months, and then it turned into 16 months. And he has learned to realize that the results are just in front of him. Mentally, he knows. He seems cognizant that he is a different human being than he once was. He is limited in what he can do and how often he can do it, certainly in terms of golf and putting wear and tear on a swing, on his body through his swing. But then there's kind of a deep in your superego of, I am still Tiger Woods. I'm still a 79-time PGA Tour winner. I won the U.S. Open on one leg, damn it. I will compete. And then reality hits. And he goes, I will not compete. And he has to go home with his tail between his legs. And everyone who watches him wonders again and again, is this the end? Why is he doing this? What's the point? What are you trying to prove? And I'm at that point. What are you trying to prove? What is Tiger trying to prove? And he has this right. I'm not saying he does not have the right to do this to himself. He is an adult with two children, a boatload of money. There is no reason anyone can tell him he is not grown up enough to realize this is his decision to make, however stupid so many of us think it is. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to. You really don't. No one will begrudge you if you say, this is just not going to work. I can be a guy that shows up to the major championships. He is exempt in 3 of 4 of them for basically the rest of his life. He's exempt in the Masters, the Open Championship, and the PGA Championship as long as he would like. Basically 60 in the Open Championship, but life in the other two. The U.S. Open, you are never exempt for life. He is exempt 10 years from winning the 2008 U.S. Open. So he's got till 2019, because it kind of goes that way. And so in 2019, you better get through a qualifier, or you better be top 50 or 60 in the world, or there is the possibility that the USGA and their infinite wisdom would offer a special exemption to Woods. They've done it a number of times over the years. They've done it for Tom Watson a bunch. He's got the most. They've done it for Jack and Arnie and Vijay, and they've done it. How often they would do it for Tiger, whether they do it once or twice, it's probably about it. But he couldn't rely on a constant exemption. But right now, even getting to 2019, where you would need the exemption, seems a long way from now. A long way. Can you imagine Tiger continuing to play golf this way for 2+ years? There's no way he would expose himself. There's no way he would subject himself to the kind of grilling and mocking and just pure embarrassment that's going to come from this kind of level of performance. He's too proud of a man. At a certain point, pride takes over and you go, I just can't do it, and I'm not going to try. And that point is going to come maybe sooner than later. Obviously, I'm not in his head. But if you or I were trying to do something like this, and we had even one iota of the talent that he does, and we started seeing the results that we've seen so far in calendar 2017, let's kind of put aside Hero World Challenge for a second. 3 rounds, best is 72. He hasn't made a lot of birdies. And to date, he is 9 over par in 3 rounds. Couldn't even start a 4th. Not looking good. Now, obviously, he's not going to say, okay, we're done after 2 starts. This is not going to happen. But I think if he can't play Genesis, that's a sign. If he does play Genesis, we'll get a different sign. We'll say, okay, well, he's still trying to go, still trying to keep going. But if he misses the cut, something similar to this, where he misses the cut by 3, 4, 5 shots and never really in it, out of it from the gate, then, okay, now you go to Honda. Honda's not any better of a place for his game. It's tight. There's a lot of water everywhere at PGA National, in the champion course. He could easily pop an 80 and wouldn't be all that surprising if he shot an 80 or 85. I mean, we've got that on the books. And if he's going to start popping those kinds of rounds. Now, if you look at his last We threw out a statistic on Twitter. Basically played like 64 rounds, 63 rounds in 21 official starts since playing basically the start of the 2014 Honda Classic. He withdrew from that. That was kind of the start of, to make a pun, the genesis of the back problems that led to the surgery. He has missed 7 cuts. He's withdrawn 4 times. He has 1 top 10. He has 3 rounds in the 80s, and only 16 of those rounds, so basically 1/4 of those rounds, have been in the 60s. That's not good. That's not good for anybody. That's not good for journeyman PGA Tour player Brendan DeYoung. It's terrible for Tiger Woods. And I just don't know how long you keep doing that. I don't know how long you keep doing that and then just say, you know what, let's put the comeback on hold. Sam, you win. Sneed, you've won. You're going to hold that record. You're going to hold 82, which really it was actually more wins than that, but the PGA Tour selectively recognizes wins, so we'll put that aside for a second. Jack, you win. You're going to keep 18. I'm going to keep 14, and we'll keep going. But I'm going to show up to 7 events a year. I'll play the 3 majors I'm exempted into. I'm going to play the U.S. Open until I can't, or until they tell me I'm not allowed. I'm going to play the Players, and I'm going to play my AT&T network. Sorry, keep saying AT&T. Quicken Loans National, because it's my event. And I'm going to play L.A. or Hero, probably L.A., because that will do good things for that event. And that's it. I think that's the best course of action. I truly do. I really feel that way. After having seen him compete 3 times now, only complete 1 tournament, I think that's the signal. Is if it's going to be like this, and you still want to compete, then you can only compete a handful to less than 10 times per year. Cut this 4 out of 5 week stuff. You can practice at home with your friends. Yes, it is different. Tournament golf is way different than practicing at home with your friends, even in a money game. Way different. But if your body is only going to allow you to travel and play once, and take a big break, travel once, play a big break, then take a big break, then that's okay. That's who you are. You got to try to make that work the best you can for the goals that you have left for your career. And if he earnestly believes that he still can catch Jack Nicklaus, which he is almost certainly dead wrong in thinking, or at least even saying, then that's how you have to attack it. Because you can't keep doing this. People will turn on you. You cannot keep going into tournaments, taking guys' spots, and withdrawing, or just putting up a bad number, knowing full well that when you put the peg in the ground on the first day, on the first hole, there's no chance of you making the cut. It's just, no, that's not okay, even for that guy. He has the right to go out how he would like. He can use the exemptions, he can use the status that he has as a PGA Tour Life member, and exemptions into the, unlimited exemptions into the 3 majors for the rest of his life as he sees fit. But when it comes to a point where he's taking a spot away from someone who could be the next Justin Thomas, who could be the next John Rahm, Bo Hostler, guys like that, and they're coming fast and furious, it is his duty to get out of the way, even if people want to see him play. Because I don't think people want to see crappy Tiger Woods. They want to see Tiger Woods. And if that means you don't swing a club and sign autographs, great. If it means threatening to shoot 80 every time that you play, that's not great. No one wants that. No one wants that. They want to remember Tiger Woods for the best of who he is. But again, it's his choice. It's his decision. And my hope would be that he takes the time to evaluate where he's at with his back. We'll figure that out in the next couple of weeks. We'll find out, based on his schedule, not what he says, but based on his schedule, where his back is. If he plays Genesis, okay, maybe it was a blip on the radar. Or it could very well be that this is what happens, where you kind of get pop-up back injuries, pop-up back issues, and sometimes you're just not going to be able to finish. So kind of the Fred Couples deal, right? And we'll understand from that, from the schedule he intends to play between now and the Masters, where his back is. And we'll go from there. if in a practical sense, if I'm Tiger, need to consider some things. One, new swing teacher. Need to look at someone that's not Chris Como and see if he can kind of massage his way into a kind of the old guy swing. Because the idea of going back in time toward a swing when he was in his early 20s and his teens, kind of the more wild swing that he had, that's not what he is right now. That's not what he's doing. He's playing away from pain. He's always played away from some kind of issue, whether it's the two-way miss, whether it's an injury, whether it's a knee problem with the issue that he had with Foley. Now he's playing away from back pain and knee pain with Como. I don't know if he can continue to do that, but if he can work with somebody who has rehabbed guys who are failed golfers, maybe he's got a chance. I don't know who that guy is. I saw a suggestion of Pete Cowan, who's done great, great, great things with a number of European players. Might be worth a call. If I'm Tiger, I'm going to start wearing hybrid golf shoes every time that I play golf. He wears metal spikes. Now, they're not all metal. They're metal in the kind of the middle, and they're not kind of those classic aerator spikes that you might remember if you're of a certain vintage. That's not what they are. But nonetheless, having spikes, even the very good low-profile plastic ones that are out there now, and even a metal one component to it, the pressure that that puts additionally on his leg that can kind of go up to his back, it's not worth it. Because each spike kind of holds so much pressure point. And it doesn't diffuse it throughout the entire foot like you would with a hybrid shoe. That's why they're more comfortable. That's why you prefer to walk with them. A lot of people do. They don't give you the same traction, of course, although that's starting to improve. Our friends at Echo at the PGA Merchandise Show showed us a kind of new skeleton-type look, a ribbed look, with nubs that kind of dug into the ground just a little bit, like a spike. It was brilliant. Looks awesome. Looks like the traction would be great with them, even somewhat comparable to what you get with spikes. Get in one of those. Get in one of those shoes tomorrow if you're going to keep playing competitive golf. The click-clack is not worth it anymore. It's not worth it. The potential damage that it does to you when you get stuck is serious. It's big. And it adds up. You swing a lot. When you're shooting near 80, you swing a lot. So if that's the case, you're putting yourself at danger every time that you swing. Ditch those shoes. Okay, you've done that. Now go play some easy courses. Go play courses where the fairways are wide, where the fields are weak, or there aren't a whole lot of weak PGA Tour events these days, weaker, and go try to make some birdies. You've said your entire career you want to play tough golf courses because they help identify the best players. I understand that, and that's what major championships are, by and large. But for what you need to be doing and for the kind of reps you need to get through without having any kind of back issue, you need to be able to play an easy golf course that's an easy walk. Walk in the short stuff, hit all the short stuff, hit out of more short stuff. If you do those things, then you won't put so much pressure on your back by creating torque just to get the ball out of the rough. Build up to it. Don't start in 6-inch rough at Torrey Pines and expect it to work out great. Start in 2-inch rough and then expect it to work out great. Go play the California Desert event. Go play Houston. Go play, Honda's not a good example either. Go play Bay Hill, which is a little bit wider open, and it'll probably be a little bit shorter setup now that Mr. Palmer is not in charge of it directly. So look at those events. Create a scalable schedule around your back, around your travel preferences and restrictions on that, and play the four majors. And just see how it works. It might not. It might be a terrible idea. It may not help you prepare whatsoever. But at least your back will be healthy. And at least you will have played tournament rounds, gotten through them, and developed some of the stamina that needs to come with rehab instead of trying to get through these slogs. It's just not worth it. He's not going to do those things. He's not going to do what I just suggested. I mean, he might put on some hybrid shoes. That would be a good idea. But the other stuff he's not going to do. He's still going to try and be himself. He's still going to try and be stubborn. He's still going to try and be who he is and has been. Not who he is, who he has been. And it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Not like this. And unless he makes some substantial changes, lifestyle, practice, approach, equipment, whatever, coaching, this is not going to be a successful return. And it will end abruptly. And that will be it. Because if Tiger injures himself to the point where his doctor says, I can either cut you open again and you can never play golf again, or you can play keep playing golf and just keep messing up your back, he's going to choose to walk away and not get cut open again. Because the doctor's going to be like, we've been there three times. We're not doing this again. We're not doing it the same way we've done it. And Tiger will not want to go through that pain. Not one more time. Done it twice. You going to do it again? I don't think so. Not at 41. So that can be the end of Tiger's career. So he needs to consider some serious changes in the way that he approaches golf, or this is it. Meanwhile, golf rolls on. We got a great event going on in Phoenix. The leaderboard is pretty interesting in Dubai. We got great young players winning tournaments. John Rahm won with two eagles in the final six holes. Back 9-30, final round 65. Was amazing. He's the future. He's a future player. Justin Thomas, future. Winning already. Winning prolifically. Hideki, future. Spieth, future. Koepka's on the board. Got guys who are kind of just hitting their prime of their life. Dustin Johnson. Jason Day's getting there in the prime of his life and golf career. Although he's got back problems of his own because he's trying too hard to rip at the ball. So does Rory. He's got rib problems because he's trying to rip too hard at the ball. Rory and Jason should take a page from Phil, the other guy who's old and has a lot of wins and had two off-season surgeries. He had two sports hernia surgeries. He's in contention in Phoenix. And you know why? Because he created a swing that doesn't put a lot of torque, that doesn't create a lot of problems for him long-term. Now, yeah, you got some muscle issues, but those things happen when you're almost 47 years old. And meanwhile, you've got guys in Jason Day and Rory McIlroy who hit the ball an incredibly long way, but they've got a swing that relies a lot, A, on timing, which is, that's golf, but B, on the crouching and pushback off the ground, creating additional problems laterally and medially for them on their bodies. Way more than what Tiger was doing to himself. And he exacerbated that by going to Foley and trying to do the push off the ground stuff. Those guys need to heed what's happening to Tiger right now as a warning that you cannot play golf this way forever, the way that they do. And that if they do, their careers will be shorter than his. They're just setting up for it. We don't see the damage that happens to golfers with the modern swing because they're young. When you're under 30, you can do anything and still recover the next day. I'm getting closer to my mid-30s, which is kind of scary to think about. But I can't do all of the same things I used to be able to do. I can't drink 20 beers and get up the next day feeling great and having lost weight. I can drink 7 beers, walk home, and wake up in the morning with a minor headache. When I am 45, I will be able to drink 3 beers and go home and pass out and not get up for 3 days. It's just kind of how it works. Same thing for other physical exertion. So, for those guys, this should be a wake-up call. That could be you. You could be Tiger Woods, and not in a good way, if you continue to play golf this way. All right. So that's it for us this week on the show. Again, if you have a Roku device, please download the Golf News Net channel to your device. We'd love to have you on board with us. Apple TV is coming soon. I'm actually going to work on that a little bit this weekend, make sure we get it into your hands by the end of February. So once Apple reviews it, we'll let you know about all that here and on the website as well. If you have any comments for us, you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or if you want to at me on Twitter, it's @RyanBallingy. Next week, we'll talk about what's going on here in Dubai, and we'll talk about what happens in Phoenix, and we'll get you ready for what may be the most excruciating golf telecast of the year, the third round of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It is truly terrible, but we'll get you ready for an otherwise good tournament at Pebble Beach next week. Until then, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thanks so much for listening, for the pleasure of your time and the respect of your company, and we'll see you next week on the 19th Hole Golf Show.